Cuius est imago ec et superscriptio? Whose are this image and inscription? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Our Lord has entered Jerusalem, and the shadow of the cross darkens the final days and hours of our Savior's earthly life. From the cries of Hosanna only a chapter ago to the trap set before us in this 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, our Savior's enemies have searched and will continue to search for any excuse to denounce him and to murder him. Yet our Savior masterfully dominates their plots, and if his enemies do ultimately succeed in condemning our Lord to death, it is only at a moment of his choosing, for he alone is the master of life and death. He alone lays down his life as an offering to the Father. Yet, as our Lord Jesus Christ fends off the fury of the assaults of the Pharisees and the Herodians, he turns to us, and from the very hatred of his enemies, draws forth for us words of grace and truth. Judea had only recently been brought under Roman dominion, but in exchange for the safety of Roman borders, the Jews were expected to pay tribute to the Emperor of Rome. The Pharisees had refused to pay this tribute, pitting their interpretation of the law of Moses against the laws of mere Roman men. Interestingly, the Pharisees plot with the Herodians to catch our Savior in a trap. These latter were servants of the Roman ally Herod, and now of his son of the same name, and therefore ultimately of the Roman Emperor himself. The Pharisees urge the Herodians to ask the fateful question of today's Gospel, thinking that Jesus will be caught in a fatal dilemma. "Tell us, therefore," they said, "what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" If Jesus says yes, in the eyes of the Pharisees and in the eyes of many Jews, he is a traitor to the law of Moses, to his people. They will denounce him as a collaborator with the Roman regime, an apostate from a strict worship of the one true God. If our Lord says no, he is a rebel before Caesar and invites the wrath of Rome's might and the retribution of the Herodians. "Show me the coin of the tribute," says our Savior. "Whose are this image and the inscription?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus confounds his enemies with the simplicity and the precision of his reply. There is no opposition between the service of our Lord and the just service of our nation. The Gospel shares with us the surprise of our Lord's enemies, and we rejoice with our Lord's disciples as his enemies retreat in shame. Next Sunday, we shall rightly meditate with great joy on the universal kingship of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, and his right to reign both in our hearts and in our nations. However, this morning, let us return to the scene of today's Gospel and enter into what St. Thomas Aquinas describes as the mystical significance of what has just unfolded before us. But before that, let us return to our first parents. Cuius est imago ec et superscriptio? Whose are this image and inscription? Our minds and our world grew dark when the pall of our first father Adam's sin was cast over all of creation. He who had enjoyed the company of God now had to regain as a penitent what he had been granted lovingly as a friend. Creation and the lower nature of his passions rebelled against our first father. However, no sin, no matter how dark, could efface the mark of the God he bore in his very soul. As Genesis reminds us, God created man to his own image. To the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. The Church teaches us that we are capax Dei, which means we have a capacity for God, but also more than a mere capacity. It is chiefly by the higher faculties of our soul that we are created in the image and likeness of God, namely, our intellect and our will. Therefore, our minds and our hearts are open to knowing and loving seemingly without end. We know and we love many truths, many people, many things. However, no matter how much we learn, and no matter how much we love, our minds and our hearts will always ask for more. Our poor culture thinks that merely saturating and bombarding our minds and our hearts with sensationalistic news and transient pleasures will at last quench our thirst. But it does so in vain. As St. Augustine famously prayed, "For you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Our mind and our heart are made in the image of God, and is only in knowing him and loving him that our minds and our hearts will find our rest. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. We have come, therefore, to the first mystical significance of our Lord's victorious reply to the Herodians and the Pharisees. As St. Hilary of Poitiers and St. Thomas Aquinas say, Caesar's currency bears his image and is rightly rendered unto him. But more importantly, our very souls are the price of our tribute to our God. Each of our souls bears his image by our creation in his likeness, and it is only through paying him the loving homage of our informed and steadfast faith and persevering hope and unconditional charity that we can render him fitting tribute. However, we often forget our own very dignity, the capacity of our minds and hearts for God, how precious our souls appear to our Lord, as well as the true price that was weighed to save them. No man has ever seen God, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He hath revealed him, St. John tells us. And according to St. Paul, our Lord Jesus Christ is the very image of God. Imago Dei. And so as Caesar's coin is held aloft in today's gospel, and our Lord utters his reply to his enemies, a singular moment of contrast seems to unfold before us. Our Lord sees the envy and hatred in the hearts of his enemies consumed by ambition and greed. They seek to trap our Lord over a tributary coin, the denarius, a piece of metal struck in the likeness of Caesar Tiberius. But our Lord Jesus Christ is himself a likeness. He is God the Son. From all eternity, he is the unspeakably perfect likeness of the Father. The human nature that he has assumed into his divinity is struck, we might say, in the likeness of his heavenly Father. Let us recall our Savior's loving rebuke of St. Philip. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" The Herodians and Pharisees would have our Lord put to death over this coin, the denarius, worth a day's labor. But he himself is the price of our salvation, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who will offer by his saving death the infinite value of his most precious blood in the ultimate tribute to the Father. Beyond the cold hearts of the Herodians and the Pharisees in today's gospel, our Lord sees our hearts and the hearts of all who are created to be his. He sees in our souls the image of the triune God by our creation, but he sees more. He sees in our souls renewed by baptism, precious hearts recast, not only into a resemblance of God, but now ennobled and divinized as participants in his very nature. Whose image and inscription are these? None other than those of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord sees his own mystical body called to be remade in his image and likeness, and he is the unfailing reflection of the Father. He sees his heart in our heart. He sees the tribute he paid to his Father for each of our souls. And he says to each of us this morning, gently but forcefully, "Render to God what is God's. Render to the Father the joys and consolations I send you each day. Render to him the good works that I desire to work in you by my divine grace. Render to him the crosses I ask you to bear with me. Render to him the price I paid as I was nailed to the tree of life. render to him the only tribute that is worthy of God, God himself. Render to him my body, blood, soul, and divinity. Render to him me. Therefore, let us lift up our hearts as we go now to Calvary with our King. Let us render to him our hearts and minds, firmly united to his Eucharistic sacrifice. Let us pay tribute as we glimpse beyond the veil of the sacred host, the image of our glorious King, the living image of our God. May the most holy name of Jesus Christ be the only inscription found on the tribute of our hearts, and may our actions be worthy of his likeness. May the Immaculate and ever-blessed Virgin Mary, who bore this saving victim, take our hearts now under her most pure heart, so that the image of her divine Son might ever be more faithfully formed in us. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.